Don't forget all the voices you're about to hear on this here podcast. They're all performed by me, so they say. I don't know. What do you mean, so they say?
Oh, Phil's being foolish. Anyway, welcome to the program.
You're kidding around, huh?
Yes.
Yes, I'm kidding.
All right.
Welcome to the program.
Nigga, what the fuck?
And this is Margaret Gray, along with General Galen Shaw, Robert Leonard, and Bud Dickman for the world famous, the world famous Phil Henry Show, with all of the cacophony of the N-word and the.
See that hip hop when it goes, hey, hey, N-word? That's accepted.
Got to accept it, General.
Well, I got to accept it, huh? Because that's just the way the world is, huh?
Pretty much, that's the way the world is. The way the world is here, anyway. World famous Phil Henry Show.
What a world famous Phil Henry Show is of the world.
A world famous Phil Henry.
I just think it's very, it irritates me.
Because you don't like hearing the people of color being disrespectful?
No, it just irritates me as a white man to have to sit there. Well, I'm talking about being a white man. Well, I don't want to sit there and be a party to that. I don't want to have to sit there and spectate it. It's as if I'm being forced to watch some. You know, like, did you ever see in the Godfather Part 2, they go to Cuba, whatever it's called down there, right?
Cuba?
Cuba. And it's some kind of a Jesus H. Christ.
Oh, the sex show.
Yeah, they bring out Superman.
Yeah, the guy's probably got one about this size, hits the floor and rolls to the wall.
How dare you?
Hey, come on now, Margaret, not this early.
Hits the floor and rolls to the wall.
That's what they're animating. That was what the animation would be, yeah.
What are you doing, throwing up?
No, I'm reaching down for some news copy.
Let me ask something. Why do we keep news copy on the floor around here?
Because you do?
Yeah, you set a bad example, Mr. Henry.
Oh, I set the bad example.
Yeah, you're always good laying it down here, so I thought I'd lay it down, too.
What do you mean, lay it down? Is that some kind of beatnik talk?
So, yeah, what about the Godfather scene?
Well, all right, so they have the Superman, and he comes out, as Bud says, hits the floor, rolls to the wall. Why should I quibble with that? It's probably very, very accurate.
All right, can we just move this along?
So, in that sense, you're listening to hip-hop. You know what? I'm so sorry I brought this up.
Yeah, I figured you wouldn't have been able to finish that thought.
You figured I wasn't going to be able to fix that thought.
Finish it!
All right, so I think you made a point there, General. Somebody out there understands what it is. I don't, but someone does.
Yeah, see? You use that as an occasion to belittle me.
General, it was, you know what? You had it fouled up to begin with. No one's really going to grasp that. You're trying to compare some Cuban, pre-Castro Cuban sex show to some guy, two guys on a street.
On a street corner.
On a street corner calling each other N-word.
Yes. What are you smiling at?
Oh, it sounds kind of funny to me. This is the,
Did you hear the way that guy laughed?
Yeah, Phil, you went like this.
This is the Phil Henry Show, and welcome. It's Monday. It's the 9 millionth of October. Who the hell knows what date it is?
I know. It's the first day of May.
Yeah, it's the first day of May.
All right. It's the first day of May, which would make it what?
What do you mean it would make it what?
What's the date?
It's the first day of May, Phil.
Yeah, first day of May.
So what date is it then?
Well, May 1st?
Yeah.
Oh.
Wow.
Phil, we're only as bright as you are, and you're coming off of a pretty rough weekend, so...
Not that, you know, no,
You're coming off a pretty rough weekend.
Yeah, and everybody out of town. What are you doing, sitting and partying by yourself or something?
None of your business. And a lot of people are out of town. You know, Maria and Catherine took off for some trip to the Caribbean.
And they stopped in Bermuda. I hear that, you know, I've always wanted to go to Bermuda.
But that's why they call the Bermuda short, right?
What's that?
You know, the shorts they wear?
The Bermuda shorts?
Yeah, they're from what did you call it, Bermuda?
It's called Bermuda, yeah.
Bermuda.
All right. Okay, Bermuda.
I think they wear shorts in Bermuda, whether those are the Bermuda shorts that everybody talks about, the Bermuda shorts that Jay Santos wears, for instance, with the Citizens Auxiliary Police, I don't know. But I asked her, I said, hey, do the cops down there wear shorts? And
she probably said, do you go back to bed because you sounded tired?
Yeah, she said, go back to bed. And when I woke up, she said, yes, they are. And yes, they do. And yes, they is. And yes, they am. So, all right, cool. Anyway, they got to New York this morning. They got off the boat. They went to the hotel.
Now, she's going to have hip replacement surgery. What the hell is she doing? She's walking around New York?
Yeah, and I asked her. I said, so what's the story? I mean, you know, she said she can do it for like 2 hours at a stretch, and then the pain starts to kick in. But she's on these pain meds, leading up to the surgery she's going to have. She's also got to go back in for some kind of a heart test, because they test you to make sure that there's a whole lot of stuff that's going to be happening. Like, do they do two hips at once? Do you do one hip?
There's an awful lot of very personal medical information. Should I be spilling this out? Just spilling it out all over the dock like the little Kinder boy?
Oh, for God's sake.
What are you talking about? You know full well.
You're not talking about the Kinder boy.
That's right. Sometimes we spill information out around here like it's the Kinder boy. But what's everyone looking at?
That's the most screwed up comparison I've ever heard.
That you've ever heard?
Well, all right. Maybe there's some that are worse.
Thank you.
But that's pretty jacked up. We spill out information around here like it's the little Kintner boy.
Oh, my Christ, he's laughing.
Yeah, see, I knew it.
Some stuff...
It's the black humor of it.
Yeah, it's the black humor.
And you don't mind that, huh, Robert?
Well, you knock it off. So, now...
What are they doing now? Aren't they at the Mormon book?
The Book of Mormon, yeah. They're seeing the Book of Mormon. They saw the Carole King beautiful. And they pack it in. See, that's the whole trip, man. Maria and Catherine, you know, both together must be like a whirlwind of insanity, because those guys pack more crap into one day. They get off the boat. They meet a couple of friends of theirs. They have brunch. They go back to the hotel. They get ready. They go out for the Carole King musical. Then they go to Sardi's for dinner, which, you know,
oh my God, Sardi's is one of the great class restaurants of all time in New York. Isn't that where all the uptown and all the class act, you know, the hi-hat and all that stuff?
Well, maybe once upon a time. Can't be that way still.
I think it's probably more tourista now, you know. But you could say you went to Sardi's.
Well, what is Sardi's anyway? I'm not familiar with it.
Yeah, a restaurant where all the people with the top hats go.
I don't. It was some swank restaurant at one time in New York. Probably still is. But, I mean, I don't know. It's like going to the Stork Club or something. Is that still around?
What's that?
The Stork Club. I don't know. It's a club.
It's a club.
You never heard of the Stork Club?
I've heard of the Stork Club. I didn't know there was a nightclub.
Well, what did you think it was?
Yeah. I thought it was a club of individuals that were into storks.
Oh, my God, like a sex club?
You know, I'm going to kill... Hey, get off of it now. You know full well I wasn't talking about sex. I thought it was about people that were stork aficionados.
Stork aficionados?
Don't give me the screwed-up face, Phil. You know what I mean.
Well, I suppose there is a number of people that may find the stork interesting.
Oh, sure. Well, you're trying to tell... Oh, look, boy, look at the snobs around here. So you guys aren't down with the fact that some people may love to study the stork, go to where, you know, where it eats or whatever the hell it does?
I guess. I've never thought of it that way, but no, that's not what the Stork Club is. The Stork Club was a nightclub.
All right, thanks for explaining that.
Stork aficionados, why does that worry me? Why does that...
Yeah, why does that make me feel there's something quasi-sexual, you know?
Here's something that's quasi-sexual.
I'm gonna choke me to death.
Hey, I wanted you to know what it'd feel like if I put something else down there. Oh,
what an animal.
All right, let's not do this anymore. Let's say we do this, okay? We'll do the traffic, world-famous Phil Henry Show. And here is Bob Bacon. Bob?
Well, right now, there's on the freeway with a guy outside. He's slanted out there. It's slanted. Probably would land and take off at 8:15 coming to another planet. But they did tell us on the other planet that the traffic out there is well bad going on the other planet. If you want to travel off of Mars or Venus, just get on the ship and go bad and take me to your leader. Let's go out to Skyberry.
And I'm going to have some beans and some looks like string beans are in season this year. We're also going to have the chili bean. If you're interested in the string bean, want to go ahead and pick a little string bean and take the vegetables. I'm at Don Bavon Freeway and the Bulldog Bell's out going up there soon, going downtown. Let's go over there to Boy Sky Baby Swing Town.
Where'd everybody go? We done?
Are you getting hip replacement surgery? Do you need a new elbow? Do you need a new shoulder? Are you going to be walking on a walker? Do you need a wheelchair? Maybe some pain medicine? Go to Dr. Wellman. Dr. Wellman, 85 years of age, hardly moves when he walks, but boy, he can take care of any hip replacement, any elbow replacement, any shoulder replacement. And if you need to take a lot of naps, if you need to sleep the day through, Dr. Wellman's for you. Yes, Dr. Wellman. Hip replacement, and then retire early to an old folks' home and get a lot of naps.
Dr. Wellman will replace your hips, your elbows, your shoulders. Who knows? I mean, someday might even be able to replace your head.
Get a lot of naps in with Dr. Wellman.
Special pain medication, too.
If you're interested in something other than Christianity, maybe you'd like to join a witch's coven, come to Bob and Carol's Witch's Coven on Sunday nights at their home there at 7171 Burchard Street. Almost forgot where they were, and also I know that there's an evil spell cast upon me if I actually give out the real address. There'll be somebody there at the end of the street to show you where the real house is. On the Bob and Carol's Witch's Coven on Saturday nights. They'll teach you all of the great ancient witch's arts. All the great ancient mystical black arts at Bob and Carol's Witch's Coven. Become a witch. Become a warlock. It's fun. Bob Souser, Daily News. I like it. Ted Willingsley, London Times. Bob and Carol's Witch's Coven. Bye. All right. Phil Henry Show. Now, let me tell you something.
Yeah, what is going on with Dooley now?
Well, let me tell you. Bobby Dooley has taken grave exception to some of the commentary that she's been hearing on this show and also some of the commentary that she's been subjected to over on our Facebook fan page. She, as you know, General?
Well, she got her ass handed to her.
Oh, in the bar fight?
Yeah.
Oh, you better believe she got her ass handed to her, yes. I did the handing. She had the ass. I'm the one that handed it back to her. So in other words, I got her ass, and I gave it back to her.
We understand that, Margaret.
Well, I want to rub it in a little bit.
Well, that's the problem she's having. And the noted lack of support from a listener base was one that... Really hurt her feelings.
Well, if she's trying to get some kind of sympathy, oh, man, what I wouldn't give.
You can't blame her wanting to try to get the sympathy.
Look, I would like to talk to her about this, and we can review this the bar fight in exactitude, not in exactitude, but in exactitude, and find out.
All right, Phil, good for you.
Yeah, about a $50 word.
$50? How about a 50-cent word? So Bobby Dooley joining us from Western States Homeowners Association. Bobby, the very first bar fight featured you and Margaret Gray. You lost that bar fight in the estimation of our listener base, 79% to 21%. And I know that you've taken great exception to that. What did they get wrong? What do you wish they saw? How do you view this thing?
Well, first of all, I'm very happy that you're finally asking me. I would think that there would be some post-fight analysis and allow us to comment if we have been so humiliated, really.
Now, Mr. Henry.
It's my husband, Steve.
How did you get excited?
Steve, back off the phone.
Hey, okay, hold on for a minute. Why do we always have to tell you, Mr. Dooley, to back off the phone?
What? Well, give me the phone back. What he wanted to ask you was the following. What knowledge do the listeners have of my fight skills?
Oh, darling, they all know what happened behind the sit and sleep that time.
Other than that, which, of course, I...
Well, you say other than that. I mean, that's a pretty big that.
I got sucker punched.
No, you did not get sucker. You came walking right toward me. And you were saying, I want to talk to you about something, and you were striding almost like a robot right toward me, trying to put me off guard.
I was not trying to put you off guard.
And then came the left hand.
Let's not re-litigate the fight, because we've heard that. You want to ask about the listeners.
First of all, I want to know, what is this, Steve?
I took a look at the polls, and I'd rather take a poll where...
Back off the phone, Steve.
I'd rather take a poll where it doesn't shine than to see the thing.
So what my husband's basically saying is, this poll that was taken of listeners and fans of the Phil Henry fan book on Face page, right?
Fan page. The Facebook fan page.
The Facebook fan page had Margaret Gray winning 79%. That means they perceive that I would be beaten almost to death. Am I right or am I wrong?
I think that's a fair estimation.
Yes, I would say the 79 to 21% is a bad beating, yes. Almost to death? I don't know.
Well, it sounds like it to me. So the question then is, and here's my husband to explain.
The question that we have, Mr. Henry, how did they get so malinformed to think that my wife be beat up bad?
Well, what he said there was basically this. How
are you interpreting for him? Sorry.
How did the fan base of the Phil Henry fan page, I'm sorry, of the Phil Henry...
The fan page, yeah, at Facebook.
Right. Of the Phil Henry face page. See, I messed it up again.
You're doing it on purpose.
I beg your pardon.
You're doing it on purpose. I know you are. You want to drag this out.
Hey, Hey, you're talking to my wife.
You're talking to my wife. I mean, you're talking to me. And that's my husband.
Yeah, I'm talking to my wife. And
Mr. Dooley, we know that she's your wife. It sounds like you two guys are really ganging up tonight on us. I mean, you got your stuff down. Usually you're beating his ass or something.
What?
Usually you're telling him to get lost.
Steve is my husband and is backing me up 100% on this. Now, the question remains, what kind of information, what kind of disinformation or misinformation, and even if the audience did perceive that I was a mere 21% of the 100% of the bar fight, do I have to be publicly humiliated over a period of day after day after day?
Long day after day after day, it drags out.
You know what? I'll tell you this, Mrs. Dooley, if you don't mind. This is General Shaw.
Yes.
Mr. Henry does one bar fight a week. So there's a piece of promotional time there that has to be filled by a recap of the previous week's fight. Now, we're well on to week three. That is Bob Green versus R.C. Collins. You got that there, bud?
Yeah, right here.
Yeah, this is our fight this week. If they go to the fan page, facebook.com/PhilHenryFans, they go over and vote on the Bob Green-R.C. Collins fight.
What is this all of a sudden? Burger Boy of the Month? What are you?
What does that mean?
Well, you're sitting there doing Phil's pitch for him. I would think...
Burger Boy of the Month.
Yes, I would think...
That's a real insult, Bobby. The general is trying to give you his opinion.
Why do you have to belittle him like that?
I would think the general would not be promoting so much as he would be investigating. That's all I'm saying.
I'm telling you that the audience picked the winner of that fight. There's nothing you can do about it. We've only got a day or two to tell people what happened, and then comes the promotion of the next fight.
Yeah, don't you see on the fan page the way it is?
On the what page?
On the fan page. The fan page.
On FaceFan.
You know she's doing this on purpose.
My wife,
what are you talking about?
Hey, Bobby, you know what Facebook is, right?
Yes, I do, but I don't know what the fan page is.
That's one of the pages you can have on Facebook.
All right, I didn't know about that. For you to intimate or even assume that I'm, quote, doing this on purpose, whatever that is.
Well, I'm calling you a dumbass, honey. That's the wrong thing.
Are you calling me a dumbass? Is that it?
That's what they're doing.
No, we're not calling you a dumbass. We're saying we are a little shocked that you're not more familiar with what Facebook does, given the fact that you are over there. I know you've got a Twitter account, but aren't you over on Facebook?
No, I am not on Facebook. I was on Facebook, and I got off of Facebook because it made me sick to my stomach. Okay? I don't like Facebook.
Well, it's rather snobbish.
It may be snobbish, but I don't like it. And now I doubly don't like it, given the fact that these bar fights are the result of some sort of fan voting.
That's the part that stinks. Man, it stinks bad. The fact that...
What stinks bad about it?
The fact that my wife is going to be voted on like she's just a cow up on top of a...
Call me that, Steve.
I'm comparing it. Like she's just a piece of livestock being voted on. And then they say, okay, go back to the pen.
I'm not sure I like that.
Well, honey, that's kind of...
I know it's sort of what it is.
Look, Bobby, you have a lot of fans out there. Margaret does, too.
Oh, I do, huh? I got my ass kicked!
I know she can't hang up.
She can't hang up. Where is she?
Dooley, yeah, you can't hang up. Your line's going to be jammed up on account of that. Mr. Dooley? Mr. Dooley? Mr. Dooley, are you there? No, I guess he's not there.
No.
Oh, here he is.
Hey, Steve.
Yeah?
Okay, what happened to your wife?
Well, she obviously is understandably upset. You said about her.
I didn't say anything about her, and neither did the general. What we said was... The polling among the listeners, among the people that like the fan page, whatever you want to call them, are they even listeners, Phil?
A lot of the people that like our fan page probably like it because maybe they like something they saw on the page and they've never even heard the show. So I don't know, but the point is that it was really up to them as to who would win or lose the fight.
All right, so are you going to do a heavyweight fight?
Will you back off that phone, man? Every time I got you on the air, you're doing that.
Doing what?
You're sucking the phone off, Dooley. Okay, you're sucking the phone off. You're having an oral sexual relationship.
Oh, wow, man. You know,
just back away from the phone.
Sorry, how's this?
Fine. So what are we talking about now?
Where's Bobby?
She's laying down right now. She has a compound headache.
What is a compound headache?
Like almost like her brain's almost coming out of her ears. It hurts so bad. Honey, are you okay?
Oh.
Yeah, see?
That was fake. Let me talk to her.
She knows it's fake.
What?
That was the most fake pain thing I...
Pain thing?
Just talk to us about the fact that I was considered to be the more viable of the two fighters, that you were not, and that you did not make it to the semifinals, and better luck next time. So sad, my dad.
The perception.
The perception that I'm a weak-ass, punk-ass.
My wife thought that.
You know, I want a rematch, and I think probably that's what I should have opened this up with. I want a rematch.
Damn it, perfect, yeah. You gotta have one.
Wait a minute, I'll decide.
No, I think you gotta do this, Irving.
You want a rematch with Margaret Gray?
No, I want a rematch with the Easter Bunny. Yes, a rematch with Margaret Gray.
All right, that's fine. I mean, I'm game. You know that I don't walk away from anything, especially when it has something to do with you.
You know what's going to happen in the next fight? You're going to get your ass handed to you, and you'll have to bring a wheelbarrow to carry it home. Oh!
I do not want to hear her on this.
Margaret, you can't make that call.
Well, did you hear that?
She sounded like some cackling thing. Like a thing that was just hanging in the trees waiting for someone to croak and go west.
Better like a banshee.
That's right.
Bobby Dooley upset, ladies and gentlemen, with the fact that she lost bar fight number... I guess it was bar fight number one, wasn't it? Bar fight number one. And so I guess what we'll do is maybe we can reschedule, but that's way, way down the line because we have our semifinals coming up. Right after we finish with bar fight number four, so...
Well, we've had three so far.
No, we've had two so far. We got three coming up. That's R.C. Collins versus Bob Green this week. Go to the Facebook fan page. That's facebook.com/PhilHenryFans and vote. And then we'll have another preliminary after that. Come up with four winners, and that begins our semis.
And so far, the two semifinal participants are myself and Ted Bell.
Right. We ought to put Ted in here.
Damn, Ted Bell will talk about it.
Maybe I will, man. I don't know. We'll be right back. What did I just say?
We'll be right back.
We'll be right back on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Don Mixa has been in touch with the Everton fans and has got some things to say to me about talking about English football on the show. He says, I'm getting it all wrong, man. World-famous Phil Henry Show.
Well, that sounds really interesting, Dot.
Nugentine's is a great restaurant in downtown Fourville. You go there, you order whatever it is that's on the menu. You don't really know what it is. No one really does know what it is. And no one really knows the ingredients that go into it. But we do know one thing. Nugentine's is exciting.
I love Nugentine's, and I hope you do too.
Nugentine's is... I wouldn't go anywhere else in terms of just food that you eat.
Yeah, Nugentine's, all the way.
Nugentine's. They serve you food that they don't really know how they make it, but they do. It's almost as if their chefs and their busboys and their waitresses go into some kind of a fugue state, you know, where they're just like, woo. You dig what we're putting down, right? Nugentine's in downtown Fourville. Come on in and eat it. Come on in and have a plate of whatever it is.
Sweet Farm. For 21 years, we've taken your relatives in, and we've allowed them to be what they are, and they're no bother to you. They're not much of a bother to us. At Sweet Farm, no matter how different your relative is, when they come and live with us, they're right down the middle of the plate.
Yes, Sweet Farm. Your loved ones are cared for in a beautifully understanding atmosphere, filled with kindness and joy and love, and yes, regular spankings. We're only kidding.
Yes, at Sweet Farm, we've got a sense of humor. Ow! Ooch!
Sweet Farm, come on in. Take a look. Take a whiff. You'll find that at Sweet Farm, nothing's out of bounds.
At Sweet Farm, our number one consideration is you and then your loved one, making sure the check cashes. That's another joke.
Sweet Farm.
Sweet Farm.
Sweet Farm.
Sweet Farm. On the block.
Hit the quad. Hit the quad. Yeah. Hit the quan, huh? I'll hit the quan. Don't worry about it. And when I'm done with a quan, I'll have another quan, please. And this time, would you... This time, great, just leave the bottle. Oh!
World famous Phil Henry Show at El Pacifico in Southern California. Here's Mr. Henry.
Thank you very much, and thanks to Bobby and Steve Dooley for, I don't know, but for nothing.
Whatever that means.
Oh, it's exactly what it means. So we had them on for like, however length of time we had them on. They're worried about the fact that she lost the fight.
Well, that's the Dooleys, you know. They want to go back and rewrite history after the obvious has happened. Now, I don't know, and I don't care. You know, just like the blues song, I don't know, but I've been told Big Leg Woman she's got a lot of soul.
Big Leg Woman's got a lot of soul.
What's with you all of a sudden?
I know these. I know some of these blues songs. I don't know, but I did not tell you, Phil, I sang the blues. You know that, don't you?
You sang the blues.
What do you mean you sang the blues?
You want me to say it again? I sang the blues.
All right, Margaret, but this, like Bessie Smith?
I sang a lot of old blues songs. For instance, I used to sing this one. Well, I'm long gone, do-do-do-do, like a turkey through the corn. Okay.
Now, what the hell is that?
It's just, would you explain it to him?
Well, that's an old blues. It's long gone. What else do you know?
I know this. Went down to the crossroads, fell down on my knees, do-do-do-do-do-do-do. You see, General...
When you go do-do-do-do-do, just, may I ask this question?
You can ask the question, but you're starting to edge toward the land of pissed off. The land of pissed off Margaret. And I'll tell you something, they're letting traffic through this weekend. So you'll go sailing right on in.
Yeah, you'll go sailing right into pissed off Margaret land. Oh, is that right? I won't even need a visa?
No, you'll just...
All right, well, let me ask you this. And I don't want to go to pissed off Margaret land. When you go to do-do-do-do-do, is that, what is that, a guitar?
It is an orchestra, for Christ on a...
Yeah, Miss Gray sings with a full big band orchestra.
Well, how the hell would I know that?
What do you think? Do you think I'm in some blues group? Do you think I'm in... What is the Blue Traveler? Do you think I do that?
Do I think you travel... You're with the Blue Traveler?
Blues Traveler! God, I can't take this.
You yell into my ear one more time, Phil.
All right, I'm sorry. No, I'm talking about Blues Traveler.
I know that's what he's talking. You think I'm in a blues band?
Well, I don't know when you go to do-do-do-do-do.
It's an orchestra. First of all, my backing orchestra is Greg Peabody and the Wonderful Ones. You know that, right?
No, I don't. Well, why would I know that when I'm asking you what is the orchestra?
I've told you a million times. No, he's not Greg Peabody. It's Dan Peabody and the Wonderful Gents. Or the Wonderful... What is it, Phil?
Dan... I think his name is Dan... Why don't you know this? I don't know this.
Why don't you know...
Bud, who?
Right, I know, it's Dan Peabody and Mr. and Mrs. Wonderful.
That's it, yes. Dan Peabody and Mr. and Mrs. Wonderful.
Who's Mr. and Mrs. Wonderful? Is it like a trio?
No, it's a full orchestra.
Yeah, that's the name of the orchestra.
Mr. and Mrs. Wonderful.
Yeah.
Yes.
Now, don't you understand?
Phil and I may be the only ones that don't get this, and I'm worried that he does.
I don't care. So, what about it?
So I sing blues. Crossroads, felt, you know that song? I also sing One Monkey Don't Stop No Show. See, a lot of the blues singers are very rough around the edges, and much of it is so guttural and so bar-like. It's as if they got up off a cot somewhere in the back room and were shooed out onto the stage, and they sang their set, barely making it through while slugging back glasses of gin, and then they dragged them back to their cot. And that's the life of a blues singer, not me. No, not Margaret Gray. I do a class all the way, number one in the annals of whatever.
What other blues tunes?
What?
What other blues tunes?
Yeah, what else do you sing?
What else do I sing?
Now, you did kind of lisp there, Phil.
What else do you sing?
Well, I do, we did Crossroads. Born Under a Bad Sign. I've been down since I began to crawl. If it wasn't for bad luck, I wouldn't have no luck at all. See, and that...
Well, that's the worst I've ever heard.
I beg your pardon?
That's the worst singing I've ever heard.
I haven't rehearsed it.
Homeboy. Hey, man, don't call me a homeboy. Well, she hasn't rehearsed it.
I haven't rehearsed it, Robert. Here, one, two, and a one, two, born under a bad sign. I work on the Phil Hendry show. If it wasn't for his show, I might actually have a life. There, how's that sound?
Would you guys quit banging on the damn desk? Because every time you do, I got to edit that crap. All right, anyway, welcome back to the Phil Hendry Show. Now we got Don Mixa. I said Dan Mixa. Don Mixa joining us now on the Phil Hendry Show from Seattle, Washington. Big Don, it's always good to have you with us, Don. And we want to talk to you today because you've been fielding a lot of phone calls from fans of Everton, haven't you?
I have, Phil, and good afternoon, good morning, and to everybody out there in Phil Hendry land.
Hello, Don, how are you?
I'm very good.
Hey, Mr. Mixa, who are you talking about, Everton?
Yeah, you poor man.
What are you talking about?
Hey, you talk about Everton. I'm talking...
You know, it's Bud.
Okay, well, yes, I was talking to some of the Everton fans with the Southern California Everton. You know, it's the...
I know, those guys, and I follow them on Twitter.
Well, you did follow them on Twitter.
I'm not following them?
I was checking to see. I haven't seen them anywhere there. You might have...
I don't know what happens sometimes. Because, Bud, you're running the account. You're always following and unfollowing people.
No, I'm not. That the one time I followed and unfollowed somebody, it was like a stripper or something.
A stripper?
That's what I thought, anyway. She looked like a stripper, and she followed you, and I said, "That's a stripper."
What was her name?
Iggy Azalea.
Oh, you're full of crap.
I'm only kidding.
Get out of here, will you? So what's the name of this that's called Everton?
Yeah, that's the name of the football team.
I mean the California?
That's the Southern California Everton. Anyway, I was talking to a few of them, and they said, would you please tell Mr. Henry to lay off, because a lot of the conversation you have about English football, you got your head parked. You know, Everton, for the longest time, has been one of the great teams in the league over there, and you, becoming a fan, I know that you became a fan back in the 80s. Why? Because some Liverpool guy almost kicked your ass?
Pretty much, yeah, and these Everton guys saved me from a beating.
All right, well, and that's great, but the fact is, Everton has been working very hard to get themselves back to the top of the table. See, that's one of the things in English football. I don't know if you know how it's called, the standings. General, do you know about the top of the table?
What'd you say?
At the top of the table.
Well, say it gooder, all right? I mean, say it better.
Say it gooder?
Say it better.
Say what better?
What's top of the table?
Oh, yeah. Well, General, first I want to ask the General, do you know what top of the table is?
No, I do not know what top of the table is, other than the fact that that's where the cat eats. Shit.
Well, I'm pretty good, General.
Yeah, that's okay. What it is...
Well, thank you very much.
What, the top of the table... I'm assuming is the top of the standings.
Right, that's the top of the standing.
All right. Everton has been at or close to the top of the table for the last 30 years. They won the championship of the English First Division back in 87. Now, that's about when Phil became a fan. The year that you almost got your ass kicked, Phil, was the year. When were you in Liverpool?
I was in 87.
You were in 87.
I mean, I was there in 87.
All right, and that is the year that they won the championship?
That's the year. So when Phil was in Liverpool... Little did he know, or any of the other Americans, that the Everton, the Toffees, as they call them, the Blue, or the Blued...
what are they called?
The Blue.
The Blue.
Or the Blue, the Blued.
What do you mean, the Blued?
I mean, the Blues.
I thought that was Chelsea.
You know, you guys are starting to really hack me off.
No, and the Chelsea is the Blues. Everton is like the Blue. It's the Blues or the Bloom.
They're the Bloom.
All right, so let's forget about what their nickname says. It's Everton.
Yeah, it's Everton. So... In 87, they won a championship, and Phil just happened to be in Liverpool with all of these other people, and he almost got his ass kicked by these Liverpoolians, and then Everton came to the rescue.
Liverpudlians.
Get a load of this. I'm talking to a guy over here.
Hey, Don, with us, please.
All right. So, they won a championship, and Phil became a fan. Fair weather, if you will, but he became a fan.
Well, yeah.
All right. Now, 30 years later, Everton hasn't even come close to winning the championship. You know, I think they won the FA Cup somewhere back there in the 90s.
What is the FA Cup?
Well, the FA Cup is the Football Association. Now, the league is the Premier League. That's the first division. The FA Association is the entire body of football teams in England. Anybody can compete for the FA Cup. I think there's something like along the lines of like 900 or 700 teams, something like, I don't know.
Well, there's a hell of a lot of teams, though.
Yeah, there's a hell of a lot of teams. And you go for the FA Cup, and people like it because sometimes we have what they call giant killers.
Now, what are giant killers? When like a lesser-ranked team beats a big one?
Yeah, you know, you may have a big team like Chelsea go into some little divey town. Like they got towns over there like Sussex on the Rhine, and they got the I don't know, like Pumpernickel on Rye, something like that.
What do you mean Pumpernickel on Rye?
Well, you know, the names of these towns. They got Nottingham Forest.
I heard about Nottingham Forest, where the Robin Hood lives.
Right, exactly. So a lot of fans like Nottingham Forest, and they like Sherwood Forest. You know, places like that.
They got a Sherwood Forest team?
I don't know, but they should. There's a team called Camelot, there's Sherwood Forest, there's one over there called, you know, the Round Table, some jazz like that.
Now, there's no Round Table team. You can look at the list of the teams by going over to the Premier League or going to the Football Association page, and I can't find one team over there called Camelot.
Well, you know what? Maybe they suspended operations or something, but there's a lot of teams that you wish would do better, and they don't. But now Everton is a team that... Phil has been criticizing because you say they're cheap and that they don't hire good players, even though they have the number one score in the league.
That's my point. They got the number one score in the league. They're not doing anything with the team. They're not building around him, I don't think. Maybe they are. Maybe they got a game plan. But what kills me is that that guy Lukaku, you know, here's a guy.
Now, Phil, are you going to get into some actual technical football talk?
Yeah, see, this is what he's doing, Don. He's starting to talk like he knows what he's doing.
Yeah, Phil, you gotta slow it down, all right?
What am I saying that I don't know what I'm talking about?
First of all, you're getting into all this, hey, you know, are they paying him enough money? Romelu Lukaku, do you even know who he is?
Yeah, he's one of their players.
Oh, okay. So So,
But talk about it. Of course he's one of his players. What, Mr. Henry, talk about it.
I don't know. I don't know if he knew he... knew who he was, but if you do, and all right, you're doing better than I thought.
Why would I talk about that guy if I didn't know who he was?
I have no idea, Phil. So you're saying Lukaku. Now, what's the point you're trying to make here?
Why don't they sign that guy, keep him on the team, build the team around him, don't let him go to Chelsea or wherever. They were gonna, and then he realized that they were trying to screw him.
Well, they wanted to keep him. They wanted to have a big, hefty buyout thing.
Yeah, I know. Well, they're playing it like a bunch of small-timers.
All right, so see how you talk? You talk like you know what you're doing, and that's very dangerous.
See, Phil, when you start talking like you know what you're doing, when you say things like, well, we're buying out the contract and the Lukaku, or whatever that is.
Yeah, that's the name of it. That's a guy, right?
That's correct. That is a guy.
Yeah, uh-huh. And what am I doing wrong?
Well, you're just bugging everybody with, hey, you know something?
Am I right or am I wrong?
You may be right, you may be wrong, but because you're a Yank, because you're an American, and because you're relatively new to the game, people are going to dismiss you and think you're just a clod, just some stumbling, fumbling clod carrying a whole bunch of hot dogs and beers. You know how you see people kind of balancing a bunch of beers and hot dogs, and they're going down the steps of the stadium, and they're looking for their seat, and they're hammered beyond all belief. They're drunk beyond anything that anybody could reasonably expect a person could take. And there they are balancing all these hot dogs and beers. That's the American soccer fan. And I would...
What is that again?
I'm not going to repeat it.
Phil, what he's saying is you're pretending some expertise when, in fact, you're this far away from losing it all. You're pretending expertise, and you're this far away from spilling it all over the dock like the Kintner boy.
Exactly. So many of the things...
But can we knock off with that analogy is bugging me.
What is...
spilling it all over the dock like the Kintner boy.
All right, but that's what's happening. And you don't want to do that. And so what you want to do...
First of all, Phil, there was no Kintner boy. Oh!
I know that, but it just sounds grotesque.
May I continue?
Go ahead.
Who is that?
It's Robert. I'm giving you permission.
Thank you, Robert. Everybody else okay with that?
Go ahead.
Fine. What I'm saying is, if you insist on talking like you know what you're doing with soccer... then you're gonna get let me have a drink of water, please. You're gonna do it some more until you're doing it, you know. And no one wants that, Phil. No one can reasonably want something like that.
Talking about soccer.
Right.
All right. Well, I thought I would just bring it up as maybe a touchstone to some of the listeners out there.
And now you're doing something even worse. You're trying to explain it away and start trying to get some forgiveness for it. Just be quiet about it and just move on.
Well, yes, sir.
I think,
We got David Hall.
Well, what do you think David Hall's going to say?
Well, give it a shot. See what he wants to say.
All right, David Hall on the line with us now from South Pass. Yes, David?
Hey, you know, what I was trying to say to Bud and what I would say to you and say to Don, I think Don's right. I think what you should do is, all right, you talked about soccer and football or all that bull crap. Now move on and apologize. It's just say, you know what, last week... don't say it right away, but say, last week I was talking about soccer, and I must have sounded like one full, double-cheeked ass. And I'm just here to tell you that I'm sorry from the bottom of my heart.
See, that's a great way to go, Phil. If you apologize and say, you're right, I sounded like an asshole, excuse my language.
No, in this case, it's okay.
In this case, it's okay, and I sounded like an asshole and a double-cheeked ass.
Well, yeah, I mean, what other kind of ass is there?
Exactly.
All right, so I just won't talk about it at all.
Well, don't go away mad, you know.
Just go away, like they say, Phil. What we're trying to do, you know, we got baseball, and we got football, and we got football, and we got baseball, and...
And we got baseball and football.
Yeah, and we got football.
What about hockey and basketball?
I'd rather you talk about soccer. Now, all of it...
Bob Green and whoever that other ass was.
It was Don Mixa, Phil, one of your very dear friends.
Thanks very much for the updates, guys, on...
What the hell is this?
That's your favorite girl. That's Marissa Brink there from In This Moment. World famous Phil Hendry. She'll be right back. Brassville and a wave to talk about Anthony Bourdain and his show Parts Unknown.
Dad, talk about Parts Unknown. Are you going down to East L.A.?
Yeah. Just how unknown is East L.A.? We'll find out from Brassville and a wave of the world famous Phil Hendry show. Here's the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Be sure you go over to the Facebook fan page and vote on who will win Bar Fight 3, Bob Green or R.C. Collins, vote there, give us your reasons for voting there, and then wait for the exciting conclusion of Bar Fight 3, Bob Green versus R.C. Collins. And right now, you can't see what I'm doing, but I'm hunching my shoulders, I'm moving around in the seat, I'm flicking my fingers around almost as if I'm living the moment.
It is, it's very method, and the general looks very, he looks very method.
Thank you.
Hi, this is Randy Casparilla. We're opening up our new nursery over there on Elm Street. We've got the other one on. We're on Oak, and of course, we're on Camellia. All of our stores are located on streets named after plants or trees. That's why we can say,
Randy Casparilla knows plants. Randy Casparilla Nurseries, located on streets that are named after flowers. And his employees also have names like flowers.
Bobby Rose is our head guy. How you doing, Bobby?
Yeah, I'm good. I'm good.
And look at this over here, Jack Spruce.
Hi.
How you doing, Jack? And, oh, what would I do without Mary Bougainvillea? Hello. And Randy Casparilla. In fact, I'm the only one not named after a plant. Uh-oh.
We're taking over. Randy Casparilla's is now Mary Spruce's.
Hi, this is Mary Spruce. Our nurseries are on streets that are named after plants and flowers. I sound like an imbecile because, well, I'm a vegetable.
We only hire the best vegetables.
Yeah, my name is L. My name is L. Ron Cornball. Forget it.
This is Mark Husen, and I do a fake overnight radio show only to myself, and my wife can hear it too while she's sleeping. I use a rolled-up magazine for a microphone, and I pretend like I'm looking into a camera, which is actually the bedroom mirror. Every night on the Mark Husen Overnight Show, I pretend like I'm Art Bell, and I bring on guys on a telephone who talk about life on Mars. The phone? It's actually me talking into my hand. Mark Husen, every night at midnight. Come on with me as we explore the world of weird and strange and oddball. Basically, we just kind of look at me in a mirror. Wonder when we got to call the police, you know.
I'm thinking about doing it all myself.
Mark Husen, The Overnight Show. By the way, that's me. I'm doing the voice. Mark Husen voted the number one fake radio show done into his hand and while his wife's sleeping in all of America.
My goodness, is that Megadeth? No, Iron Maiden.
Yes, Iron Maiden. Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com here are on a Monday. And we failed to mention, but we will right now. This is a live stream we're doing right now, Bud, right?
Yeah, we're live on a stream on a Sunday night, so we call this a Sunny Monday.
Yeah, so people are watching us right now, and they can also, obviously, they've downloaded us on Monday. It's too weird.
A lot of people have said, Phil, why even mention it? Just do it, and they're right. One little heads up, we had a really long pre-show today, and I guess that's all my fault, right?
Yes, it's usually your fault.
Okay,
Well, Phil, it was. You're sitting there, you're bitching about your lawyer. What the hell is that about?
Because I got pissed off about something.
All right, what are you going to bug people with it for?
It was on the pre-show, okay? It wasn't on the regular show, it was on the pre-show. So the only people that got bugged with it are the BSPs.
Well, you can use that now as a plug for the...
Right. So get a backstage pass if you want to see me get all pissed off about stuff in my personal life. All right, over to Monrovia right now. Brass Villanueva joining us. Brass, the president of Los Malos, an organization of empowerment for young Latin men, taking exception to an Anthony Bourdain show. The show is called Parts Unknown, but it wasn't the whole show, was it, Brass?
Okay, it was not the whole show, okay? It was the show, okay, that he did this past weekend, okay? And it was about parts unknown, where you go, okay, to places, okay, that their food is exotic. You can sit down with the native people, the people who live there, okay? And you can eat it, eat the food, okay, and discuss it. But Anthony Bourdain did not do that.
Is that the way the man's name is pronounced? Because I don't think it's pronounced that way.
Well, it's the way I pronounce it, and I tried to call up CNN and ask them, how do you pronounce Anthony Bourdain? And they hung up on me, so...
Well, naturally, they're going to hang up. They probably thought you were fooling around.
How do they think I'm fooling around? So I ask a question like that.
Well, if you watched the guy's show, wouldn't you know how his name's pronounced?
I've watched the show, and I still don't know how his name's pronounced. But be that as it may, your main complaint was what?
My main complaint was, okay, that... The show is called Parts Unknown, okay? And usually on that show, he goes to some very out-of-the-way and weird places. I've seen him go to swamps, okay? He's gone to backwaters of Louisiana. I've seen him, okay, go to weird places like Southeast Asia, where they eat dog, okay? And he's gone to Russia and all these places that Africa, all these places that are very un-American, not un-American in a bad way, but they don't look like America, okay? They're really exotic, and they're way out there, man. You know, I'd be afraid to go to these places, okay? So now I'm watching the show tonight, okay, and it's Anthony Bourdain going to parts unknown, and I'm thinking, okay, he's going to go some really strange, you know, place, and it's East L.A., okay? And
he's going to, where do you go, East L.A.?
What, to East L.A., yeah. And he's like, hey, look at this, all this really exotic food. He's like eating tacos. And
you're kidding me.
No, I'm not kidding you, man. He's on Anthony Bourdain in East L.A. eating tacos and taquitos and, like, chilenos. And
are you sure? Because, you know, that guy...
What do you mean, am I sure? Mr. Henry, I grew up in a Latin family. In fact, I fought very hard for my Latin roots and for my Hispanic roots to the point where at one time in my life, I thought Taco Bell was state-of-the-art Mexican food because I had been so cut off from my culture, okay? Now I've gotten reintegrated with my culture, okay? And I'm looking at Anthony Bourdain, and he says, I'm going to go to parts unknown. I'm going to some place that's far out. I'm going to go to East L.A., and have a taco, and
well, so you find that offensive? Why?
Because that's not. He's trying to make it sound like exotic. It's not that exotic.
Well, here's something I want to ask you, Brass. There's a lot of food that has not been sort of mainstreamed. There's a lot of food. For instance, I'll give you one that I don't think that we've actually accepted to the mainstream of American cuisine. Menudo.
Okay, like that. That's he had menudo. And he was talking about, see, he had that. And he said, this is a secret soup. He goes, it's got a secret sauce, and no one knows anything about this. And he put the spoon in it, and he ate it. And you're like, and the camera zoomed in on his face and zoomed in on his tongue, like waiting for him to turn purple.
What did he say about, what are you guys talking about?
Talk about menudo.
You know, menudo, it's menudo is soup that's made with cow intestine. Holy Christ. Well, it's no different from, it's like boiled chitlins a little bit, right?
I don't know, but it's got cow intestine, but it's delicious. It has a little cornmeal in it, I think. It's got a lot of jalapeno.
Well, it's a very, very cultural food, but you know about it, Miss Henry. And if you know about it, it can't be all that exotic, right? And yet there's this guy, Anthony Bourdain, eating this and going, I'm now going to eat something that no one knows nothing about. If I'm not, you know, if I don't get up from this, you'll understand why.
He didn't say that.
I swear to God he did.
He said, if I don't get up from this.
Yeah, that's what he's trying to say.
He said, if I don't get up from this, you'll know why.
Yeah, and he said the same thing. He had a taco and a taquito, too, you know.
But the taquito.
I mean, a taquito. But he did have chimichanga, and he had chimichanga chong chang. Not that such. I got it wrong. Chimichanga chang. Shit.
Chimichanga and what?
Chimichanga, chonga chimi, that's it. The reverse chimichanga.
Reverse chimichanga. So what's chimichanga? It's made of beef.
Right, and chonga chimi is made out of pork, chicken.
Pork or chicken?
Pork chicken.
Pork chicken?
Yeah. None of that. That's pretty common, though. You never had a chonga chimi?
I've had chimichanga. I've never had chonga chimi.
But that's exotic. Did Anthony Bourdain have that?
No, he did not. And now that's something he could have had. Instead, he just had chimichanga. And then he had a burrito supreme. And he goes, wow, you know, this is way out there, man.
Burrito supreme. I don't even think that's a Mexican food.
No, man, that's Anglo food.
Well, you know, tell whatever you want to say. But Anthony Bourdain's going, parts unknown. Yeah, I'm down here. Yeah, I'm down here, parts unknown. And I'm having me some really exotic Hispanic Latin food. And now I'm going to have a burrito supreme.
He had a burrito supreme. Is that what he called it?
Yeah, I think he did. He said, what else can I get? I'd like to get the burrito supreme wet. What are you laughing at, man?
You know, Brass, we haven't talked to you in a while. And you may be infected with the same bug a lot of people have around here, which is just yanking our chain.
I'm not yet. I'm a member of Los Molos. Mr. Henry, you know that we're serious.
I know you guys take yourselves real seriously, but I can't believe that this guy... A burrito supreme wet.
That's what he said. And then he goes, I'm having, look at this. Look at it. And they had the camera zoom in on guacamole with the sour cream on top. I'm going, huh? Everybody knows that stuff.
Well, if that guy is trying to come off and say that crap that he was eating, and I shouldn't call it crap, I'm sure it's very good, but that food is somehow super exotic, then that guy's like way out of, you know, he's from outer space.
Right, but he's counting on the fact that middle America, like flyover America, like red state America, like, the, you know, the places where are not on the coast and they don't know anything about exotic foods. Anthony Bourdain goes out and he says, yeah, hey, everybody in Wichita, whatever, tonight I'm going to be in East L.A. and I want to have a very exotic, strange food called a taco and a fish taco. And
did he say that?
Yeah, he did. He goes, I'm going to have a fish taco and I might even go for a couple of chicken tacos. And then I want to have something that you've never heard of before, soft taco. And, of course, people write in, they think, what? You know, they think it's, like, sexual or something.
This is beyond belief. I cannot believe this. And so he thinks people are that stupid.
You know, you should talk to him, because you guys are colleagues, aren't you, Margaret?
Well, I don't know Anthony personally, but I would think that I am his equal in terms of travel, yes. And I have done restaurant critique work for a while. But talking about Burrito Supremes and the Chonga Chimi, I'm not familiar with that.
Well, that's what he said, the Chonga Chimi. He didn't say that. I said you could get Chonga Chimi and chimichanga and soft tacos, and then he said also cilantro. So, and a cabbage salad.
And a cabbage salad.
Let me guess, did he say, what about this? What about corn muffins? No. Corn muffins and salsa.
Not corn muffins, but salsa.
So in other words, what he was relying on was that nobody knows jack shit, excuse my language, about Mexican food.
That's it. That's it, exactly. So I try to get through to him, and I talked to an associate producer his by the name of Terrence, and I think we've got that now. If he can...
I got it here, Mr. Henry.
All right, this is who?
This is Terrence, Anthony Bourdain's associate producer. I'll talk to you right now. Terrence? Yeah. Yeah. What is Burrito Supreme a taco?
Yeah, we now experienced that.
And Anthony Bourdain, he got that?
We haven't experienced that.
Right. Well, you know, we sell. You can buy that like in Arcadia.
Uh huh.
So and that's all. And then the line went dead.
We're talking with Brass Villanueva from Los Malos about Anthony Bourdain's show where he went into East L.A. and had a taco supreme. Had a burrito supreme. He had chimichanga, but not chonga chimi, which is made out of poor chicken.
What are you guys, what is he talking about? Yeah, weren't you around for that?
Weren't you awake when we were talking about that?
Don't worry about it, pal. I know somebody that's going to be going to sleep.
All right, I'm sorry. And the intimation and the read on this is that his show is not very authentic.
Well, let me say something here, because I think I can concur with Brass on this one detail, that if Anthony Bourdain is going into East L.A. and saying, I'm going, parts unknown, and he's having this, he's having a taco and a burrito supreme.
And he had a tostada salad.
Oh, come on, man.
I'm telling you right now.
And he thinks this is exotic food.
That was my understanding. And I tried to get through, and I talked to you. Heard me. I talked to that producer. And ain't nobody there going to listen to me. They're all brain dead. They're dead from the neck up. There's no feeling from the neck up. I said, do you feel anything from the neck up? Play that again. What'd the guy say? Are you feeling anything from the neck up?
Huh?
Are you feeling anything from the neck up?
What?
Now, I don't know.
But you've been told...
Yeah, I'm saying...
All right, Brass, I appreciate that report. I don't know that it's going to make me not watch his show. I think his show is pretty interesting, and I think he has some... the only thing I don't like about his show is when they actually slaughter an animal.
You're kidding. They don't do that on the screen.
Well, yeah, but no, but he believes, I guess, that you have to watch the animal that you're about to eat die.
And I'm telling you about a soft taco, and you don't give a shit? Oh, man,
That's Brass Villanueva.
Yeah, will I call him back?
No, don't call him back. Brass Villanueva and Anthony Bourdain with the soft taco and the burrito supreme, whatever the hell else he's got going on. All right, folks, that does it for our Monday show here on a Sunday night, the Monday Sunday here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. We hope that you enjoyed it. We'll be back tomorrow. And don't forget to visit the fan page at facebook.com/PhilHenryFans for, lay down your vote there for bar fight number 3. We got one more after that, and then we'll have our semifinals coming up.
World famous Phil Henry Show from the El Pacifico in Southern California. Executive produced by Phil Henry for Siempre Incorporated, all rights reserved on Podcast 1.
All right.